Oh, that was wonderful. Thank you very much, Logan. What a blessing. And I was more than happy to wait patiently while Logan played to be blessed like that. Amen?
Amen.
First of all, I just want to thank each of you for coming out today. I know that coming out on Sunday morning can be challenging at the best of times. And it seems like oftentimes the enemy does everything he can to keep us out of the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. Or if we do make it to the house of the Lord, to make sure that we're in such a bad mood or in such, you know, so disgruntled that we can't enter into worship even though we're here.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate y'all's faithfulness and efforts to be here this morning, you know, in spite of, you know, having to wear the masks and get drenched in the rain and so forth.
It's all for God.
Amen, isn't it? That's right. Poor Mary Lou, she dropped her mask in the water puddle this morning, you know. Was trying to wear a water-soaked mask, but fortunately we had some spares that she could have. So anyway, thanks to each of you for being here this morning. As I was preparing this message, I kept constantly being drawn to the book of Isaiah. I would love to have known the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah lived over 700 years before Jesus was born. But in spite of that, he saw the coming of Jesus and recognized Jesus as the Messiah more clearly than most people did, even in Jesus' own day.
Amen.
By the Spirit of God, Isaiah's vision stretched out across that immense gulf of time. And he looked 700 years into the future, and he saw Jesus' entire life spread out before him. And here are just a few of the things that Isaiah saw. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Amen.
In Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light will shine. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He will preach good tidings to the poor. He will heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, open the prisons to those who are bound, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing.
Amen.
The Gentiles shall come to his light, and kings to the brightness of his rising. Nations who do not know him shall run to him. All our children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of our children.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this Christmas season, we celebrate your goodness and your willingness to come to earth and live among us as a man. By your birth, you became Emmanuel, God with us. And by your death, you turned away God's anger and replaced it with comfort and joy and peace, salvation and victory. We want to take time today to remember the message that you brought with you when you came to earth. A message of love and forgiveness. A message of joy and peace. We acknowledge you as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, who has freed us from fear and has blessed us with abundant life now and eternal life yet to come. May our hearts and minds be turned to what you have for us today, And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I've entitled today's message, Do Not Be Afraid. And I'd like to begin by reading another scripture from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this verse I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. Isaiah 12, verses 1 and 2. This is God talking to you and me. This is a word to you and me. This is not just some dry, dusty word that was written millennia ago. This is a fresh and living and anointed word for this church and for each one of us individually today. Isaiah 12:1. In that day you will sing, I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory.
Amen.
In 1933, America was in the depths of the worst economic depression that the country had ever seen. This Great Depression had left the economy in ruins. There was no work to be had. People were out of jobs. People were being evicted from their homes. Soup kitchens and charity organizations were running out of supplies. Men, women, and children were going hungry. And to make matters worse, a terrible drought had struck the central part of the country, and the resulting dust bowl caused multitudes of farmers to lose their crops and their farms. Many, many farmers were forced to pack up and leave their homesteads and go out to the fruit orchards in the west or to the coal mines and the factories and the cities in the east in hopes of finding work just so that they could feed their families. One could not have picked a worse time to become president of the United States. But on March 4th, 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt was inaugurated as the 32nd President of the United States. And Roosevelt knew that he had a mess on his hands. And so when he stepped up to the podium to give his inaugural address, he spoke words that are just as true now as they were 87 years ago. He said, "First, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Fear has been in this world as long as there have been people. When that old serpent called the devil and Satan deceived Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he stole from us all the blessings that God had created for us to enjoy. The God-given emotions of love and joy and peace that Adam and Eve had known were now replaced by the emotions of hatred and jealousy and anger and fear. In fact, the very first emotion experienced by Adam and Eve after the fall was fear. The Bible tells us that when they had realized what they had done and when the magnitude of their sin came crashing down on their heads, that they were afraid. And they hid. Fear entered the world, and with fear came worry and dismay and discouragement. Fear robs us of our peace and sleep. It keeps us up at night. Fear saps our strength and takes away our hope. Fear weighs us down and affects our health. Fear discourages us and leads to hopelessness and despair. Fear consumes our thoughts and energies and paralyzes us. And fear renders us powerless against the enemy and ineffective in carrying out God's will. But by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to be bound by fear anymore.
Amen.
God can take that fear and cast it as far as the east is from the west and replace it with the peace and comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He wants us to have the peace and the hope that passes all understanding. He wants us to have the peace that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Because with peace comes comfort and courage and confidence and hope.
Yes.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that 2,000 years ago, some shepherds were watching over their flock by night when suddenly a heavenly host appeared before them, bringing good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. And they proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And even to this day, especially at this time of year, we still hear the joyous refrain of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But as much as we would all love to see the ends of wars between countries and the end of conflicts between people, we know that that's not going to pass until the Lord returns and establishes his government here on earth. In fact, the Bible tells us plainly that things are only going to get worse until the Lord returns. But I'm here to tell you that in spite of the fear and turmoil in the world around us today, as the children of God, we can still have peace within our own hearts, peace that the world can't take away.
That's right.
Amen.
I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. And I'd like for us to look at Isaiah 26, verse 3, which says, "You will keep him in perfect what?
Peace.
You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you."
Amen.
The kingdom of God is not yet here in the natural, but it is already here in the spirit, and it's operating within each one of us even now. Scripture tells us that for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God wants you to have an abundant life and to experience every spiritual blessing. But that can't happen if you're bound by fear. And that's why God sent his son Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to defeat the prince of this world, Satan. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God, and he's the everlasting Father who has come to rule and reign in our hearts and give us peace.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, you aren't given a spirit of fear. You are given a spirit of love and joy and peace and all the other wonderful fruits of the Spirit.
Amen. Woohoo!
Even after the fall, even after sin entered the world and a wall of separation went up between man and God, he never gave up on us. Throughout the ages, God has demonstrated his great love for us even while we were yet sinners.
Amen.
And over again, he reminded us that even though we left him, he never left us.
Amen.
Amen.
In that stretch of time between the fall of mankind and the coming of Jesus, we see over 80 recorded instances in the Old Testament where God encouraged people and helped them to find courage and peace and hope and strength by coming to them and saying, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Let me give you just a few examples. To Abram, he said, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield and your very great reward."
Amen.
To Moses, he said, "Do not be afraid, for I have delivered the enemy into your hands." To the children of Israel, he said, "Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will never leave you nor forsake you."
Amen.
To Joshua, he said, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord himself fights for you and will be with you wherever you go."
Yes.
To King Solomon, he said, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord God is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." To King Hezekiah, he said, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the enemy, because there is a greater power with us than with him."
Amen.
Amen.
To those who returned from captivity in Babylon, he said, "Do not be afraid, for my spirit remains with you." And my personal favorite, to King Jehoshaphat, he said, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You only need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord."
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
At the close of the Old Testament, after the prophet Malachi, there was a period of about 400 years where the Bible is silent and nothing is recorded. But then at the end of that 400-year period, God the Father arose from his throne and he said, it's time to remind people once more that there is no need to be afraid. It's time for the Prince of Peace to go and dwell among men. It's time for the Dayspring from on high to leave heaven and to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Amen.
So when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons.
Amen.
Thank you.
So with that, let's start reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Let's stop there for just a moment. Joseph was a man with a problem. He was engaged to a young woman, which in their culture was practically the same thing as being married, except without a sexual relationship. But here was Mary, already pregnant. He knew what the Pharisees and the other religious leaders of the day would say if they found out. They'd say, Joseph, if you have any self-respect, if you have any pride about you at all, then you need to assert your rights and uphold your honor and do what the law requires. You need to have this teenage girl dragged out into the street and have her stoned to death. Not only did she cheat on you, Joseph, but she gave her virginity to another man and got pregnant in the process. You have every legal and moral right to demand satisfaction and have her executed. Now, if you think I'm exaggerating or making this up, I am not. These honor killings, that's what they're called, these honor killings still go on in many Middle Eastern countries to this very day. And they even go on right here in the United States. A few years ago, right here in Texas, Irving, Texas, an Egyptian immigrant by the name of Yasser Saeed shot and killed both of his daughters, aged 17 and 18, because he believed that they weren't living up to the standards of Islam as closely as he wanted them to. Saeed was captured and arrested just about 4 months ago, as a matter of fact, back in August. He was captured in a little town north of Fort Worth. And he was put into jail. I don't know what's happened to him since. But the point is that these kind of things happened in Jesus' day. And Joseph had every legal right to have Mary put to death. But I believe that God had specifically chosen Joseph to be Mary's husband because he knew the kind of man Joseph was. He knew that Joseph was a man with a kind and forgiving heart. But Joseph needed a little guidance, like some of us guys do from time to time. Joseph needed a little guidance because he was just planning to put Mary away secretly, divorce her quietly, sweep her under the rug, pretend she never existed. Up to that point, it hadn't occurred to Joseph that God had a plan of his own and that God had chosen Joseph to be the instrument of his will. Joseph didn't realize that he would be the one to find a place for Mary to have the baby. He didn't realize that he would be the one to deliver the baby. I don't know if y'all ever thought about that, but Joseph must have been the one to deliver the baby because the shepherds didn't show up until after the baby was already born, and I don't know that they would have been much good even if they had been there. Joseph didn't realize that he would be the one to take Mary and the baby hundreds of miles to Egypt to protect the baby from being killed by King Herod. And he didn't realize that he would be the one to eventually bring Mary and the baby back to Galilee, where he would raise Jesus as his own son. But Joseph wasn't thinking that far ahead. So God had to step in and give him a little guidance.
Amen.
So let's read on in verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And by the way, the name Jesus means Savior. So verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So I see Manuel Coronado back there. Manuel, did you know that your name is short for Emmanuel, which means God with us?
Emmanuel, but I didn't know the other one.
Okay. Well, your name means God with us. So you have a blessed name, my brother. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. As God had said to so many Old Testament saints on so many occasions, now he's saying to Joseph, do not be afraid, for I have a plan for your life, and I have a plan for Mary's life, and I have a plan for the life of her unborn baby. If you'll just trust me with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, I will direct your paths and I will always be with you.
Amen.
Now, I don't know that Joseph was an especially brave man. In fact, we don't know very much about him beyond what I just read to you. But it's clear that he had enough faith and courage to trust God and obey him without hesitation.
Amen.
The scripture we just read said that Joseph woke up from his dream and did what the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary to be his wife. The pattern of Joseph's life was a willingness to obey God when called. He obeyed God and took Mary as his wife. He took Mary and Jesus to Egypt to protect Jesus from being killed by King Herod. And then he would obey God again and bring Mary and Jesus back from Egypt, where they would settle in Nazareth of Galilee, and he would raise Jesus as his own son. Folks, God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He sometimes has plans that we're not even aware of.
Amen.
Yet God chooses to use imperfect people to carry out his will, the people you would least expect to be given a task as important as bringing the Son of God into the world. Yet God chooses imperfect people because they are often the ones who are the most willing to listen to his voice and submit to his will.
Amen.
If he calls you, as he called Joseph, would your ears be open to him and your hearts be ready to obey him as Joseph did? Now let's look at Mary's role in the birth of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled. Some translations say that she was confused and disturbed at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Like Joseph, Mary is about to go down a path that she could not have imagined in her wildest dreams. Certainly not the life that most teenage girls envision for themselves. On separate occasions, Joseph and Mary both received a visit from an angel. But how many of you know that different people have different needs and that God meets us where we are?
Amen.
Joseph needed guidance and direction. He just needed to know what to do. So that's what God told him. Joseph, go and take Mary to be your wife. Mary, on the other hand, needed reassurance. The angel started off with a blessing. And at first, she had a little trouble accepting that blessing when he said to her, "You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You are blessed among women." But the angel was so patient with her. And when he saw that she was troubled by what he was saying to her, he gently repeated himself and reassured her that there was nothing to be afraid of, and that what he said was true. She really had found favor with God. Ladies, the Lord has a word for you today. And so, if you're a guy, you can tune out for just a moment and think about football or something. But to the ladies, the Lord has a word for you today. He wants you to know today that you too have found favor with God and are blessed among women.
Amen.
He wants you to know that He is with you and has not left you alone. Don't let the devil steal that seed from your heart by making you think that you're not worthy of that word or that you don't deserve it. Accept that word and let it grow in your heart.
Amen.
All you ladies, I would like for y'all to repeat something after me. Just repeat after me. I am highly favored.
I am highly favored.
The Lord is with me.
The Lord is with me.
And I am blessed among women.
I am blessed among women.
Now you need to receive that and accept it. Don't let the enemy snatch that word out of your heart. Let's continue reading in verse 31. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And now this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible."
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Once again, God chooses the least likely person to carry out his most important work. Once again, God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, that no flesh should glory in his presence.
Amen.
God chose to use a carpenter and a teenage girl living in an obscure province on the edge of the Roman Empire to usher in the New Testament, the new covenant between God and man.
Hallelujah.
And to bring about the second most important event in all of human history, the birth of the Savior of the world. If God can use people like that, then He can use anyone. He can use you, and He can use me. I'd like for you to turn to your neighbor and say, "God can even use you."
God can even use you.
Amen.
And you're not too old.
The only qualification that Joseph and Mary had, and the only qualification that they needed, was a willingness to be used by God.
Amen.
That's why he chose them. For those who have a willing heart, obeying God doesn't bring fear, it brings peace.
Yes.
After the angel appeared to Joseph, it says that he awoke and without hesitation did what God had commanded him to do. He took Mary as his wife. And after the angel spoke to Mary, she said without hesitation, "Whatever you want from me, I'm willing to do." The Lord never promised Mary an easy future, and she was no doubt old enough to understand that her life was about to take a very different route than perhaps the one most teenage girls envisioned. She would have to ride on a donkey all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem and have her baby in a barn. She would have to flee her home and go to Egypt in order to protect her child from a king who wanted to kill him. And 30 years later, she would stand at the foot of a cross and look up and watch that same child die a slow and painful death. But God's message to her was that no matter what happened, she did not have to be afraid because the Lord would be with her.
Amen.
Through it all.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your
help. If you would, please stand with me. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he sat down with his disciples to have one last supper. And he knew full well what was about to transpire that night and the next day. He knew that his time on earth was short. But instead of thinking about himself, his main concern was for his disciples, and he wanted to leave them with some words of encouragement. And this is what he said, as recorded in John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And after supper, he and his disciples walked out to the Mount of Olives, where he knew he was about to be betrayed and arrested. But again, he was more concerned about his disciples than he was about himself. So in John 16:33, he said this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me ye may have" what?
Peace.
"In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world."
Thank you, Lord.
Brothers and sisters, the Great Depression didn't last forever. It came to an end.
Amen.
This COVID situation we're going through right now won't last forever. It will pass. And whatever storm you're facing in your personal life today won't last forever. It will pass. What God said to Joseph and Mary, what Jesus said to his disciples, God is saying the same thing to you and to me today. Do not be afraid. He is the Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And through him, we can have peace in every situation, a peace that passes all understanding.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Before I turn the service back over to Brother Jerry, I just want to leave all of you with a blessing. When the Apostle Paul ended his second letter to the Thessalonians, this is what he wrote, and this is my Christmas prayer for all of you. This is 2 Thessalonians 3:16. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you."
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Another great message. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Earlier today, we sang a little chorus to the song, and it goes,
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. Do not be afraid.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this word to us today. And let it sink into our hearts, Lord, into our minds, into our wills, Lord, that we do not have to be afraid. You are with us. You walk with us. Thank you, Jesus, for coming as that infant to save us, Lord. To save us. Lord, these weeks, a couple weeks before Christmas yet, is working us, Lord God. Anything that's separating us from you, just let it fall down,
yes,
Lord, and be gone, including fear. Give us that refreshing that only you can, that Holy Spirit filling that only you can, Lord. Give us that through these 2 weeks as we have our thoughts constantly on this season and what it means to the world. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, use us as your instruments. We give you praise and thank you for your peace today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Virtual hugs.
Amen.
Thank you.
Did you press the button? Yeah, just press that silver button.